But despite being in a very politically active environment, we all kind of came to the consensus at some point when we kind of looked at our local ballots and had no idea what was going on, that we knew absolutely nothing about local politics. And it wasn't just us. It was, you know, the entire politically active scene of our local high schools, or pretty much anybody that we talked to. We just didn't know, you know, what was going on in local politics and why it was important.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of the 501 Hustle. I am your host, Vivek, and we are here today with Arvind and Shivesh. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great. Great to be on here.
It's a great day. Excited to get talking.
Arvind is a rising sophomore from Franklin, Massachusetts, concentrating in computer science at Brown University.
My name is Arvind. I am a rising sophomore, currently a freshman at Brown University studying CS.
Having taken home international recognition for his entrepreneurial projects in both the Conrad Spirit of Innovation Challenge and the Paradigm Challenge.
In high school, especially, you know, before Brown, I had the, you know, kind of a unique and fun opportunity to explore entrepreneurship pretty deeply, just in virtue of, you know, being at a high school that kind of encouraged that, and it gave me chances to explore it. So I ended up participating in some entrepreneurship competitions, and that really gave me a love and appreciation for what entrepreneurship can do to, you know, create an impact change in people's lives, you know, across the nation and even more than that.
Arvind is currently the CEO and co-founder of CandyVote, an all-inclusive election platform through which voters can seek information, formulate opinions, and engage with local politicians.
So, you know, entrepreneurship has been something that I've always wanted to do. And CandyVote kind of became the perfect opportunity for me to explore that with Shivesh and our other two co-founders, Lucian and Nick.
Arvind co-founded CandyVote with the mission of improving local political involvement across the nation. And CandyVote has thus far garnered feature recognition in major publications such as the Providence Journal and Rhode Island Monthly.
Our journey thus far has been really pretty incredible. We just really enjoy working on this day in and day out.
On campus, Arvind is a member of the Brown Jabberwocks Acapella Group, the alumni relations team of the Brown Entrepreneurship Program, and the Brown Organization of Producers and Songwriters.
I like to explore music in any way possible. Recently, I've been really into, you know, singing and participating in singing groups.
You can frequently catch Arvind playing pickup basketball all around campus, especially in the spring and fall. A freshman at Yale University, Shivesh loves both math and political thought. He believes they both push the boundaries of human understanding and development.
I'm Shivesh. I'm currently a first year at Yale, also a rising sophomore. I'm concentrating in math.
Shivesh co-founded CandyVote, hoping to help educate voters across the nation and foster diverse political conversations, and currently serves as CandyVote's COO.
Me and Arvind went to the same high school, and more or less through our 4 years, became best friends. So when he wanted to start CandyVote, I was in from the start with him. And obviously, when it's something you believe in, I think you can definitely make it work long term.
Shivesh is passionate about helping others and tutors local high schoolers in STEM subjects. He also loves to pursue education and is currently learning Latin and ancient Greek in order to enrich his understanding of lingual nuances, social constructs, and Western culture. And in his free time, Shivesh can be found outside biking, strength training, or volunteering.
Outside of school, I love to lift, and I also volunteer in Cumberland a ton. I'm just like Arvind, I'm a hometown kid. I really love coming from Rhode Island and working with the kids in the area.
So y'all's 501 Hustle CandyVote is around local politics, right? And allowing people to become more engaged with the people that are running for local office. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you discovered this issue and really, I guess, touch on the importance of local politics and what CandyVote aims to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So CandyVote kind of stemmed from a place of ignorance, which is, you know, it's always a really funny story whenever I tell this. You know, the idea for CandyVote, which is meant to be a platform that encourages and provides information about engaging with local politicians and local campaigns. It came from a place of practically, you know, we have four co-founders, and the three of us, three out of the four, went to the same high school in it was a pretty politically active high school in Providence, Rhode Island, right? So kind of in the center of things, people are really involved with the national stage, really wanting to get to know more about politics. But despite being in a very politically active environment, we all kind of came to the consensus at some point when we kind of looked at our local ballots and had no idea what was going on, that we knew absolutely nothing about local politics. And it wasn't just us. It was, you know, the entire politically active scene of our local high schools, or pretty much anybody that we talked to. We just didn't know, you know, what was going on in local politics and why it was important. So, you know, that kind of realization and revelation led us to do some research and see, what is local politics? What can it do? And does it really matter? And I think the answer to that research can be summarized in two facts. One is that the national voter rate local in local elections and municipal elections is 27%, which is much, much lower than the national voter rate for perhaps a federal election or even state elections. 27% is basically one in four people, right? It's a little more than that. It's pretty abysmally low. But fact in and of itself, although it's a problem, we need to find out why it's a problem. And the bigger problem behind that is that local governments control $2.2 trillion in annual government spending just at the local level, right? So when you combine those two facts together, people really want to see change happen. I think there's kind of a general consensus in the nation that in at least one way or another, like everybody wants to see something happen, right? But the thing is, that can happen often at the local level if people engage more with local politics and their communities. It's very easy to make change happen in local communities because your voice, just in virtue of being in kind of a smaller sample size, is much more powerful at the local level than perhaps, you know, if it were to be drowned out at the national level, just in virtue of how many people there are, right? So in combining those two facts, that kind of led us to the idea of CandyVote. You know, we got together with our four co-founders, and we kind of went from there. We just brainstormed, like, what can we do about this? And maybe Shavesh can talk a little more about us finding out and thinking about what can we actually do to solve this problem.
Yeah, no, definitely. And actually, to add a funny story, when we first started on that Ingrid stuff is when we were cold calling mayors and like local politicians in Rhode Island. And, you know, as any startup does, like, this is the grind phase, you know, like, you got to go through the process, you got to run through the mill. And we thought we had this like nice big list of local mayors. And this is a little tangential, but I really do love this story. And then I love to bike around Cumberland, as I told you. So I'm biking around Cumberland one day and I spot three new mayor signs in Central Falls. Central Falls is the border town. And then like I bike back home, I call Arvin and I'm like, look at our list, we're missing these three mayors. And what was crazy is even on the public website in Rhode Island, they're not listed as candidates yet. Mm. But they're out in their communities putting out flyers, posters, signs. And so then we realized that not only was it an issue of we didn't know there's information, but there's not actually a great place online or ready to find this information early. Like I found it because I was biking around Central Falls. But then even after Google searching their names, they were not declared candidates. And in fact, the declared candidates wouldn't be released for another 2 weeks. So that was something that we learned, like, maybe we need to go out on foot and really find the information. And, you know, if we can find the information, we have, like, it's our responsibility to share that with others, especially when it should be public information. Like, there should be a place where you can go and find your upcoming lectures at any local level, whether that's school district to fire district to mayor. So I think one of our plans and one of our hopes at CandyVote is also just to become a centralized place where whether you want to get involved or just learn more about your local politicians, you can just hop on the CandyVote platform and find that out.
So when you're doing this research, are you discovering from like the citizen end that maybe they don't believe that local politics can be as influential as you might think, or are they truly just unaware? Do you think providing them with information is enough to get them engaged?
I think it's twofold. We definitely want to provide the information, but we also, in general, want to increase voter engagement. But I think to your point, Vic, one of the things is the spotlight we see on news and TV and Twitter and social media is always national politics. Mm-hmm. When it's just ingrained in your head that the only thing that matters is your Senate election or your presidential election, you lose focus on your local elections. But as Arvin was saying, these local politicians, these are the people who are really building the community you live in day in and day out. Like when you walk your streets of Providence, it's really that leader of your district who is deciding how to spend those money to fix those potholes on those roads, right? To make sure those streetlights are working late at night. And that's an important part of being in a community. So I guess one of our main things at Kinneybo is we want to build up local communities. And part of that struggle is putting the spotlight back on local politics, but also after that information and that spotlight is there, getting more people involved. Because, you know, when you talk to someone about local politics, they might be like, I'm uninterested. What is that? Utilities, broadband.
Yeah.
But really, it's like, it's your local community. It's like when you step outside, if you want to live in a beautiful place that you love, you need to fight for that. And you need to have your voice heard in that place being built around you.
Absolutely. And to add on to that as well, like we've done quite a bit of kind of bottom-up research, right? That's a term that's tossed around a lot here at Brown. They really want you to know what you're getting into. And that's something that we spend a lot of time doing. And what we found in our research is that it's not that people don't care about local politics, it's that people, as Shivesh said, are so used to being, people are so used to information being unavailable to them that they don't even think there's hope for them to be involved in local politics, right? If you think local politics are important, but you don't think that you can Google a name and find out, you know, whether a certain person or not is running for local office in your community, then it's very hard for you to engage or even want to engage just in virtue of the fact that there's no way to do so, right? There's no way that you can easily do so. And so what we found is that, like, in surveys that have been conducted, like, nationwide, you know, Pew Research polls, people say that a lot of the people who don't engage in local politics, surprisingly, it's not because they don't care. That's actually a very few percentage of respondents respond that they don't care. Instead, it's just, I have no idea how to do so, and there's no information about how to do so. That is, you know, kind of the consensus, very, you know, given answer that people get to, because it's true, right? I mean, if I looked up, you know, who should I vote for treasurer in Franklin, Massachusetts, I will get zero Google results. Versus if I looked up who should I vote for president, I'll probably get 4 million Google results, right? So it's just that internalized nature that Shivesh was talking about. It's just not possible. And we're hoping to make it possible, because I think people do want change to happen. And it's very easy for that to happen at the local level.
And I also think there's one more facet that's sometimes overlooked is with the national politics, these campaigns, as you were saying, right, they have tons of volunteers, tons of support. Some of these small town mayors, they're like a one man or woman team trying to get out and reach their community. And that's part in itself. So another goal at Kinneybo is, you know, to be that support system for a local politician so they can reach out and so people in your community can reach back. Because it has to be a two-way street.
What do you think has it been historically, like, why isn't local politics getting the funding from their national leaders of their party to support them? Is there like a misalignment of incentives? Like, hey, if we're going to fund local people, then they're not going to focus on my federal campaign? Or is it they just truly lack the understanding of what local politics do? Where was that? What's the history with that?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, and something that, you know, I think we've thought about as a team a lot, and also as individuals, right? It's like, yeah, why isn't local politics, why doesn't it have a spotlight? And I guess, like, this is somewhat philosophical in nature of an answer, but it really does come down to some sense of power, right? It's like, why do federal politicians never shout out maybe local politicians? I mean, yeah, you might get, you know, a president shouting out the mayor of New York once in a while, but that's obviously not what we're talking about here, right? Instead, what we're talking about is, like, yeah, you never see perhaps money from federal campaigns being donated to any sort of local campaigns. That doesn't happen very often. And I think the reason is there's not much of a trade-off there, right? There's not much a local politician can offer maybe somebody who's running for a federal office, and there's just not an equal incentive there. But the problem is that doesn't matter to the layman. That doesn't matter to the constituent who just wants their community to be as good as possible, who just wants, you know, to be in a loving, you know, rich cultural community, right? At the end of the day, when it comes to the individual, your local politician has as much, if not more, power as it pertains to creating the environment that you live in that a federal politician may have. But they just don't support each other. I mean, that's just, you know, kind of the way that the American political system is structured, right? It's like, why would a federal politician support a local politician if maybe if that local politician endorsed them, then they might get like 3,000 extra voters that don't really matter in the long run, right? That's a problem. But the problem, the bigger problem as a result of that is that the system itself is not geared towards maximizing kind of the utility or the happiness or the general well-being of the constituent, the American constituent, right? the voters who actually want to see change happen. So it really is a fantastic question. I will say, I think like in a positive manner, I think things are trending much more towards local politics having kind of a greater emphasis, perhaps because of, you know, platforms that do want to provide some sort of a little more guidance into like, how can you get involved with local politics, or like, why does it matter? And that's available online. But like, if you look at like 50 years ago, like local politics practically didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Or obviously they did, but the relationship between federal and local politics was non-existent. Perhaps maybe it's a little better now, but obviously it is a huge problem, as you just mentioned.
So is Candy Vote an app, a website? How does it function? And then what information can I get on it? How can I engage with politicians?
Our first iteration of Candy Vote was a website, and now we're hoping to have a full web app as well as an iPhone app and later come Android app.
Oh, cool.
We want it to be accessible on all platforms. And the idea behind Candy Vote is essentially we'll have multiple quizzes that can match you to local candidates in your area. And even recently, we've been trying to balance this idea between like a fair amount of time for someone to, you know, go through researching their politicians. Cause, you know, obviously not all people want to spend like 4 to 5 hours researching every position and understanding the ins and outs. And we understand that, right? Like our average user is not going to be someone who, you know, takes 5 hours to figure out who to vote for school board district. But our job is to give you enough information where you feel like you can make an informed decision. So on that note, we plan to have a dashboard with different elections pertaining to your local districts. So that could be like fire district, school district, as well as just like county. And of those, you will take different quizzes to see the candidates and who you match with ideologically. And we want to make your voting day as easy as possible. So one of our plans in the future is even to have like a ready-to-go, very simplistically, we're calling it like a voter passport or a ballot card, where it's like, you can see what your ballot will look like and what Candy Vote recommends you vote for based on your ideology. So these are goals we have. But right now, our main focus is we want to make this dashboard encompassing. So ideally, when you come onto our platform, it's personalized to you in the sense your location, your district, and it knows. It can tell you everything from your school district election up to the national level one day. But right now, focusing on the local, so your school district, your mayoral. And it can also tell you ways to get involved on all of those campaigns, gives you a time scale of when you have to vote for these campaigns, and gives you options to donate and give back, and even maybe like talk to these local politicians and like hear their most recent news updates. So we want it to be this all-encompassing platform where you can volunteer, send messages, know when your elections are happening, know who to vote for, and even get information on candidates.
So how are you finding how are you getting in contact with all these candidates and making sure that they all have an equal chance of being represented on your platform?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a fantastic question. And I think we really kind of nailed down the formula into getting into contact with all of the local politicians that are running for office, right? So like that means a lot of work for us in terms of finding out who's running for office. Fortunately, there are kind of websites and sources that allow it to do so. But as Shavesh has pointed out, sometimes even that system is flawed, right? But the reason why we find it so important that we as a platform want to make sure that politicians get equal representation as well as voters is that, as Shavesh mentioned, right? So our platform can essentially be boiled down to two steps. One is questionnaires, right? Matching you with local politicians. And the second is, okay, now that you're matched, here's a dashboard where you can fully engage with their campaign, right? So the first step, that matching process, if we are to make that as effective as possible for the voter, what that's going to take is us working with the politicians to ensure that the matches are fully accurate, right? So what that means for us is, let's say we have a questionnaire for school board, right? Like a school board election. And let's say it's hypothetically 10 questions, right? The same 10 questions that you take as a user, we want the people running for school board to take as a politician. Mm. And we want it to be a direct match, because also like we are not trying to guess, you know, whether you would be a good match for somebody or not. We don't want to enforce our own bias in any way. The best way for this to be a clean and effective process is for politicians and users to work together in kind of taking this questionnaire and then naturally, you know, matching up as a result. And then we take it from there with the engagement platform, working with the dashboard, making sure that you have every way possible to engage with the local politician's campaign.
Right? Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds cool. Okay, because I was wondering, if you're recommending these matches, that's a lot of like influence and responsibility.
Absolutely, yeah.
How do not screw it up? I wanted to go back to, you had mentioned, Shivesh, that this platform is going to have several different types of opportunities. Like, we want to engage with the candidates. We want to have volunteer opportunities. We want you to have a matching quiz. As an entrepreneur, you know, it's great to have a big picture vision, but you can't attack everything all at once, or you're going to like lose your focus. And so I was wondering, what is like your, what is your kind of timeline, or what is kind of the first couple verticals you want to attack first? If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can kind of build off of what Shivesh said before on this one. So yeah, you're completely right. Like, on our end, like, we want you to be able to do everything, right? We want you to do as whatever you want, however you want to engage with the campaign. But obviously, that takes a lot of work on our end in terms of setting up the proper infrastructure, making sure that if you sign up for a volunteering slot, like, somebody's actually going to be there, you know, to work with you when you get there, as opposed to you just showing up, right? We have to ensure all that happens on our end. So the way we're kind of staging our process, I think if we had to break down like the ways that you can engage with the politician, I think it really does come down to maybe three or four. The first is donations, right? I mean, local politicians are criminally underfunded, in the sense that, you know, one, I guess there are two ways to interpret this. One, they don't get that much money from politicians or people, right? As we've talked about, like, it's not like parties really support local politicians, you know, but also at the same time, like, it's not like they're, you know, collecting tons and tons of donations that can adequately support their campaigns, right? But at, you know, the second way to interpret that is that there's kind of an undue influx of corporate donations that influence local politics, right? So, you know, I guess since we're talking local, it's really easy to kind of, you know, contextualize this stuff. So, for example, right, let's say 5 years ago or 6 years ago, there was, you know, a Providence mayoral candidate. This isn't true. It's just a hypothetical situation, right? Let's say they definitely, like, part of their campaign is to diminish property taxes specifically for companies looking to come in and kind of industrialize the area, right? If you have kind of a major player who's looking to settle in Providence, they would be heavily incentivized to support this politician over another politician who, say, you know, wants to raise taxes in this sense so that they can keep the area local and homegrown, right? So just in that sense, you can see, like, it's very easy for corporate donations to become influential, yeah, and kind of decide what actually ends up happening in local politics. And we want to strive away from that. So what we provide is a way for people to give grassroots donations funding to campaigns, which means that if you're supporting a candidate monetarily, it's because you want that candidate to support your beliefs. And that's why you want them to get elected into office. No other reason, right? So I guess, like, going back to the original point, there are really only a few ways to engage, which is donate, volunteer, engage with other people who are matched with that politician, and perhaps even engage with that politician themselves, right? And when you boil it down to that, on our end, it becomes very simple, right? It becomes, how do we make sure that people are incentivized, recognize the power of donation, and, you know, are willing to do so, and we have a proper mechanism for them to do so. And we tackle that, right? Then we ask, like, okay, politicians don't have that many, or local politicians rather, like, they often need volunteers. They need people out on the streets kind of holding up their signs, lobbying for them, campaigning for them. And it doesn't happen as much as they would like it to, right? So how can we build kind of a volunteer system that's part of our dashboard, that's easy, simple to use for the user, and allows the politician to engage more with the community hands-on, right? And then finally, we have this kind of like messaging platform on our dashboard where you can engage with, you know, kind of, I don't know, you can think like maybe Reddit or something like that, right? Just in the way that you have a shared common interest, you want people to hear you, and also you want the person that you're actually trying to vote in to hear you as well. So even though, yes, it's a lot going on, it's just kind of like, when you think of like, how do I engage in politics in general, those are kind of the things that come to mind, right? And we just want to make sure that there are platforms where you can so easily do all of those three things instantly at the federal level, right? I can search up, like, can I volunteer for blank's campaign at the federal level? And, like, I can do so in 3 minutes, right, if I wanted to. And we just want that to happen at the local level. We just want to make that a possibility at the local level. So there's a lot going on, but we're going to make it as simple for the user as possible. And we're not going to be doing anything that you know, doesn't exist at the federal level. We're just kind of looking to equal the playing field, provide local politicians the opportunity to have access to the same resources that perhaps larger, you know, governing politicians may.
So are y'all in Providence right now? Only in Providence?
Right now we're targeting Rhode Island. We're still in our development phases right now, but we're really optimistic about the future and expanding. But definitely, I think we started in Providence, and that'll probably be the first place we build and like get in touch with politicians and make sure people are interacting with them. And then, you know, these are individual communities, and that means taking the time to getting to know a community to a certain extent so you can ask meaningful questions and you know what elections are going on. So I think at first, it'll be like a ground up building process, not to overuse the word, but like, you know, Providence is a home community for many of us on the team. And it's one where we can reach out and really get to know the elections and the local politicians because, you know, we were raised here and we went to school here for years. And now, especially with two of our co-founders at Brown, they're very much so connected to the community. And so that'll definitely be our first goal. And then hopefully from there, we'll expand to places like New Haven or other communities that we are all connected to. And then, you know, hopefully this thing is a self-propelling train is, you know, other local communities see what we've done for Providence and our communities and they want to join. You know, that also means like we will have to eventually have people from their community because, you know, you need an expert from every community to make sure you're doing it justice.
Yeah. Have you guys gotten good feedback from, or have you reached out to Providence candidates and others, and have they seen the value proposition in CandyVote?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been in touch with quite a few politicians. And, you know, as far as that goes, like politicians are really excited. I mean, one thing that we've kind of universally been hearing from all the politicians that we talked to is like, there is no way to find out, or there's no effective way to find out like how people actually feel about something, right? Especially at the local level, right? So like some of the politicians, for example, that we talked to, you know, their method of getting information to make informed votes or perhaps, in, you know, like curtail their campaigns is sending out a Google form to people on their mailing list. And like, it's not like they have any other options. There's no platform where they can get more. They can engage with the community, right? It's like, that's all you got. So when you think about it that way, it's like, you can almost say that they're kind of Google forms driving the decisions behind your community. And is that what we want? I would argue probably not, right? And as far as feedback, I'm really happy to say, so last summer, or this last fall of 2020, we had kind of a beta run for CandyVote in which we released a prototype questionnaire and put it up on our website. And, you know, we had a decent amount of media coverage and we had a lot of people flocking to the site to try out this platform and try out the questionnaire because they wanted to see, you know, what we were doing over here, right? And some of the most meaningful feedback that kind of stood out to us came from people really involved in the system. So for example, we were getting messages from like civics teachers in Narragansett who were saying like, I tried to teach my kids about local politics and about the nuance behind it, but there's just absolutely no way to do so until, you know, CandyVote came, right? And it's kind of those types of messages, and that was like a beta, that was a prototype questionnaire. You know, there was a lot of room for improvement and we're still improving and trying to maximize our potential. But even that, it's just like the small service that we could provide for the community. There are people really involved in the system who, you know, kind of need that, who say like that has never existed before and they've always been looking for something like it. So because of that feedback, we've kind of, you know, been able to garner that the outside world, the people apart from just our founding team, really recognize that this is a problem, right? That needs to be solved. So we've gone from there.
So from the customer side of things, I see more of a social good, right? Like you're allowing these people to really become engaged and aware of the change that they can initiate with their vote. And on the politics side of things, yeah, it's a social benefit, but it's also a business benefit. You're giving them data, you're probably increasing donations, you're making their campaign more effective to reach out to voters. So how are you going to fund this? What is your like revenue model? Are you gonna, I would assume based off what I just said, like you would probably go after campaigns versus the people, but I don't know like the legalities behind this or how do you make this grow and sustain it financially?
So I guess first and foremost, one of our main values to all our founders is, you know, this is a democracy platform. For those users, for people in your communities, it needs to stay free. People need to be able to interact, use our dashboard, you know, get the information. We are first and foremost, a place where, you know, anyone can go get information, get matched for free. And I think to stay true to our values, that'll always be the case. So we will never ask for, you know, monetary donation, monetary support from users to get on the platform. But in that regard, you know, it is a social good, and some people might want to donate to a social good. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely an option for us on that front. But you are right. Eventually, we hope that it will come from the candidate, and because the candidate sees the benefit of, you know, being able to pull their community and being on a platform where they can communicate with their laymen and constituents. We're hoping to do something like a subscription model. So like, you know, you come on the platform and you don't need to be like, if you're a candidate, you really need to be on the platform when you're in office or when you're running for election. But like, you know, once you're out of the political system, you probably don't want to stay on the platform. So in that sense, we think it makes the most sense for like the politicians to do some type of subscription service to be on the platform and, you know, have access to messaging their constituents and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, we understand it has to be variable because we want it to be a fair playing field and we want to get as many candidates as possible. And for some of these local candidates, that might not be an option. Yeah. So we're definitely going to work with those and find exceptions to their rule and get them on the platform too, just so people can get the most information. So I think we need to make sure everything nails down, but we have a solid idea of a subscription-ish model for the politician side.
Nice. Has CandyVote been used already in an election, or is an election coming up and you want to launch it then?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. So we had our beta this last fall, in which a lot of, you know, we had around 5,000 users around the state just want to interact with the platform, which was fantastic. And we garnered a lot of positive and, you know, constructive feedback as well. And we're using all of that, and we're currently in the development stage. We're really heavily targeting the fall of 2022 Providence midterm elections, which is where the mayor of Providence is elected, along with a couple other really important positions as well, right? So what we see there, for example, there are already, you know, dozens of declared candidates for that one position, for one, you know, the mayor of Providence position. The problem is, right, nobody knows who any of them are right now, right? Like if I asked somebody who's fairly involved, I mean, we go to, I go to Brown and you went to Brown, right, Vivek? So if I ask people who are very politically active on campus, like, who are the people running for mayor? I don't know if I would get an answer, right? Which is not their fault in any sense. But what that means is there's kind of a direct need in this community right now for a platform that can provide that information in an easy manner, in an easy access way, right? So we're really targeting, we really hope to make that specific election better for the entire Providence community, right? We want it to be a more positive experience. We want to increase local voter turnout, and we want to work with the campaigns and the candidates to ensure that they have, you know, kind of a successful campaign in terms of being able to do what they want to do during the actual campaign process, right?
Yeah, I guess that'll be your first real shot at proving to the country that what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we're looking at it, and we really do think like the way that we've structured this, the feedback that we've garnered, like we really do think that there's a solid chance that we can really heavily positively impact one, this Providence election in fall of 2022, but going on from there, as Shivesh mentioned, like expanding out into more and more local level elections, you know, throughout the Northeast and, you know, then from there, the country, right?
So I want to wrap up with one more question, which is pretty much, can anyone collab with you or get involved or help you out? Is there any opportunity for that?
It's very likely that we're going to want to build a community of beta users, right? As any tech platform would, we are trying to maximize the amount of feedback that we get, whether it's, you know, entirely positive or hopefully entirely negative, because that means we can just improve from there, right? So in that, if anybody in this community is interested at all in wanting to become kind of a first user of CandyVote, wanting to, you know, get to know the team better and provide any sort of suggestions or any feedback or any advice that they may have, the door is 100% open. As Shivesh said, candyvote.org, or you can, always message us on Instagram at just CandyVote, CANDIVOTE.
So thank you all so much for being here. I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah, thank you. It was great.
Absolutely. Great being here.
Yeah, awesome. All right. And thanks to everyone that came and tuned in and listened. Hope you liked hearing from them. Reach out to them. They're super cool. And this sounds like it's going to be like the next big thing. So we will catch you next week and enjoy your weekend. Thanks, everybody.